Yeah, welcome into the Sound of Faith radio broadcast, heard every weekday, 12:45, right here on the Kingdom Keys Network. So glad to have you tuned in today. I want to remind you of something. If you won't quit in your walk with God, there's nobody that can stop you or shut you down. That's one of the main messages here on this radio broadcast. I'm glad you tuned in today. If you ever miss one of these shows, you can find us on the web, kingdomkeysradio.org/soundoffaith. Boy, do I have a treat for you this week. I've got on the telephone with me one of my favorite guests that I have on this show from time to time. It's Pastor Troy Bond from New Orleans. How are you, sir?
Pastor Jeremy, I'm doing great, brother. Thank you again for having me.
Yes, sir. It's been a few months since I've had you on. I'm excited to have you on with me this week.
Yeah, I think it was maybe about a year ago that we were actually on it together.
Yeah, so that's been too long. I let the time fly by.
Amen, but we're here now.
Yeah, we're here now. We're going to have a good time this week. Since I've had you on, I have had a few of the people you know, such as Pastor Rudy Gonzalez from California. I've had him on
this
show.
Amazing testimony, wasn't it, of Indonesia?
Man, I tell you what, that guy will fire you up.
Amen.
Pastor Troy, tell everybody about yourself, who you are, what ministry you're affiliated with, and those type of things.
Pastor Jeremy, first and foremost, brother, I'm just a servant of Jesus. You know, I'm originally from right there in the Amarillo area, graduated high school right there, and have since, you know, I live in New Orleans now, having lived a few other places in the meantime. But, you know, I head up Raven Ministries International, which we actually began out of a church right there in the city when I pastored up through 2003. And Raven is an acronym for Restoring a Vision and Evangelizing Nations. And that's really all we're about, brother. We're just trying to bring that vision and that heart of Jesus to reach a lost and dying world back to the church. And not just bring it back to the church, but then send the church out with that vision to reach a lost and dying world. And, you know, we began the ministry actually right there in Amarillo in 96. And since then, we've raised up churches and teams that are doing the exact same thing all across the United States, Canada, and Mexico. And it's just been phenomenal to cast that broad net out there and to see so many people come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow, that's powerful. So you're with Raven International Ministries. You launched this, and you have several people that are affiliated with Raven Ministries. Who do you have locally that's affiliated with Raven Ministries here in Amarillo?
You know, Pastor Sam Krogan. Pastor Sam Krogan, it's interesting. He and his wife Lucy are there heading up the local work. I met Pastor Sam Krogan actually online in, I think, about 1995. They had been saved just for a short amount of time, and I'd got my first personal computer and got connected to the internet, and somebody told me about a website, Bible Talk or something like that, or Bible Net, where it was like a chat room. And so I thought, hey, this would be neat to connect with some Christians around the United States or wherever. And so I got on there and found out most of those people really weren't Christians. They didn't want to talk about Christ.
Uh-oh.
But there were two people on there that would come on, and I can't remember what their screen names were at the time, but it ended up being Pastor Sam and Lucy Krogan. And met them and ended up discipling them from afar for about 10 years, never laid eyes on them. Telephone calls, emails, whatever else, just pouring into their lives. And back then, they had felt a call to come to Amarillo, but through just different circumstances, it came up and put them off from coming. Then in 2005, 2 weeks before Hurricane Katrina hit us in New Orleans, Pastor Sam and Lucy and their two kids came and spent a week with us in the city and did outreach all over the city and went back. They were from eastern Pennsylvania, went back to Pennsylvania, started Raven East Coast, planted a church there, and were there for a number of years. I was in Daytona Beach for 4 years. And Pastor Sam and Lucy actually came to Daytona Beach and went through our Raven International School of Leadership. And upon completion of that that program, they went to the city of Amarillo. After all those years, you know, the feeling like God had called them there to do a work. So Pastor Sam and Lucy Krogan there, wow, that God has sovereignly just brought us together.
Well, you know, we're at this time of the year, Pastor Troy, here in January, last part and going into February. And now, after 2 years in a row of going and meeting up with you guys down there at Raven Ministries in New Orleans for the Mardi Gras outreach. That's what's been on my mind lately. That's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show with me today. Tell everybody what that is exactly, the Mardi Gras outreach.
You know, Pastor, you know the story, but I'll share it with your listeners today. It was in 96, a brother in the Lord came to me, and he said, "Hey, Pastor, why don't you go with me to New Orleans?" And I said, "Brother, what for?" And he said, "Well, they got this thing called Mardi Gras down there." And I kind of laughed at him. I said, "Brother, I know all about that. I've seen, you know, episodes of Cops. I know what goes on in an environment like that." And he said, "Well, Pastor," he said, "let me tell you this." He said, "There's about 2 million people down there during the carnival season." And he said, "They got one thing in common." And he said, "They need to know the Lord Jesus Christ." And I said, "Brother, that's all you have to tell me." And so I put the word out at our local church that I was pastoring at the time. It's called Day Spring Ministries. And nine of us ended up going, my wife and I, Melanie, and that brother and his wife and five other people. We loaded up in a borrowed van, and we drove that 925 miles from Amarillo, Texas to New Orleans. And for me, brother, it was a life-changing experience. And you could relate to it because of your experience a couple years ago when you first went.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'd preached the gospel, obviously. I'd been a pastor, planted a church, did outreach ministry. But, brother, when I crossed Decatur Street, and I got to watch myself because I relive it again, crossed Decatur Street into the French Quarter, and I saw that multitude. My heart was broken. And, you know, I'd preached out of the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, when Jesus saw the multitudes, and he was moved with compassion. And it was like blinders were pulled off of my eyes. And, you know, it was kind of that spiritual epiphany. And I thought to myself, you know, God, how can I miss the multitude? And I thought about all the times I'd gone into shopping malls and seen the multitude, and I was, you know, in a hurry on my way to Sears, or I was in a crowded restaurant, and I was just, you know, my server was 5 minutes late with my appetizer, and how callous I'd gotten and did not even realize it. And God just began a stripping process of me. And I remember standing out there that first night, and here I was again, preached in pulpits, done all these quote-unquote Christian things, and I'm standing there arguing with myself. And I said, you know what, man, I made a big mistake. I'm so out of my comfort zone. You know, there was plenty to do at home. You know, there's plenty to reach. All those things that we give, the excuses we try to give ourselves. And the Spirit of God, brother, just really rebuked me. And he said, "Are you going to let the fact that you're uncomfortable stand in the way of someone's eternity?"
Ooh.
And I had to tell the Lord, no, I'm not. I'm not going to let the fact that I'm uncomfortable keep somebody from at least having the opportunity to hear about Jesus. And so we've been going ever since. And I think, brother, this is about our 16th annual Mardi Gras coming up. And,
wow.
You know, we took nine that first time and saw God do some amazing things. And last year, you can attest to it, we dropped over 300 people into the streets of New Orleans during Mardi Gras.
Wow.
And we're just expecting it to get bigger and bigger. You know, in order to reach the multitudes, it's going to take the multitudes.
Yeah.
And I believe that, you know, that priest, that prayer that Jesus sent forth labors in the harvest, that's what we've been praying for, and God's been faithful.
Yeah, praise God for that, man. Now, my heart, obviously, is reaching out, and I love your ministry and what you're doing. Pastor Troy, if you would address the subject for me, because I believe you agree with me on this subject. I've been talking to a couple of preacher friends of mine about this, how they're, one guy in particular had got some information from a preacher that has a very well-known church in America, a very large church. I'm talking over 10,000 members, not here in Amarillo. Obviously, it's in another city. And he was following this guy and telling me how we have to create this environment for sinners to come into the church and feel welcomed. But I believe this should be the approach, because I know the Bible teaches that the fivefold ministry gifts are for the perfecting of the saints. And my point is this: do you believe, it's a kind of a question I'm asking you here, do you believe that church should be set up for the world, or is church actually God's idea to help build up the saints so that the saints will go out to the world and preach the gospel to every creature?
Brother, the way I put it is, once church became a destination rather than a destiny, it became idolatry. And, you know, what we do is, people will come to you and say, "Where do you go to church?" Well, we are church. The question is, where does the church go? Once the church stopped going, the church effectively stopped being, because the church is God's people. You know, when he comes back for a church without spot or blemish, he's not coming back for a location. He's coming back for a person and people. And so what is exactly what you said, Jeremy, has happened. And, you know, I was talking, I was in a major church in Baton Rouge just this past Sunday, and afterwards talking to some brothers in the Lord, some preachers, and I said, you know, what's happened? I said, you know, it's kind of, I call it shining shoes. You know, Ephesians talks about having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I said, we've spent all this time shining our shoes, but we never wear them out anywhere. And so we just sit there talking about how prepared we are, but prepared for what? And so the church, brother, has been real good on the information side. And, you know, there's no shortage, whether it's Christian radio, whether it's Christian television, other media outlets, obviously now the Internet. And so people have heard the gospel enough. But that information has never translated into an intimacy, because intimacy will always reproduce something. I think about the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, when he says, by their fruits you shall know them. Now, that's not just a normal type of fruit. People, if you ask them if they have fruit, you know, they'll quote the fruits of the Spirit. And I always stop and I say, no, those are the fruits of the Spirit. What about your fruit? And the fruit of Matthew 7 is that carpos fruit. It's a reproductive fruit. And Jesus really sums it up. He says, you know, a lot of people are going to come to me in that day and tell me about the church things that they did, the prophecy conference or the deliverance conference or the miracle services. And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. The same word he used in Matthew 1:25 when he said, wow, that Joseph did not know Mary. And so there was never any consummation. What the church has been real effective at is creating almost like an army of eunuchs, very loyal, very devout, very strong, but without the ability to reproduce. And what that's done is created this major issue. We see it on the streets so often. You know, brother, it used to, when we first started going into New Orleans in 96, we could spend the entire long 5 days right in Jackson Square, which you've been there, in the shadow of the St. Louis Cathedral, and there were dozens of tarot card readers and pagans and all of these people. But our biggest obstacle today is not paganism or atheism. Sad to say, it's Catholicism and Calvinism. Ooh. Why? Because you have these people that think because they've adopted into some organization or a philosophy of belief that they no longer have to serve Jesus in holiness and in righteousness. And I have to believe that that's come straight off of pulpits all across America. And obviously, it's people within those two organizations I mentioned, or those belief systems. Not everyone's like that. But 9 out of 10 people that I meet on the streets now will say, I'm okay because I am such and such. And what they've done is they've become a friend of the world. And we know what the scripture says in James 4:4, that the friend of the world has become the enemy of God.
Yeah.
And so, you know, our job is just that. It is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. But the question is, what is the work of the ministry? Well, it's the ministry of reconciliation. It's really simple. Does that mean everyone's going to do it the way I do, that method? Absolutely not. I don't think so. You know, I praise God that he's put me in those environments on what many people call the front lines. But the method is not sacred, but the message is. And the message is, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But how will they know unless we go to where they are and preach? It's not a come-and-see gospel. It's a go-and-tell gospel.
Oh, that's good. You're listening to Pastor Troy Bond, director of Raven International Ministries. And I tell you what, they're going to outreach to New Orleans, Mardi Gras, coming up here. Well, it's just about a month away, isn't it?
Yeah, March 3rd through the 8th this year.
March 3rd through the 8th. Now listen, I want you to pray and ask the Lord what he would have you do about this. Pastor Troy, do you have a website people could go to donate money to this outreach?
Jeremy, they can go to www.biggrace.com. You know, New Orleans is called the Big Easy, but we call it the Big Grace.
So I like
biggrace.com.
That. I like that.
And there's a link on there to make a donation or to find out more information on the Mardi Gras outreach if someone would like to attend.
All right. Appreciate you being here today. We'll have you on again tomorrow. I want to thank Hair by Cheyenne for sponsorship of this radio broadcast.
Hi, I'm Cheyenne Charter. It is my desire to serve the Lord with my gifts, talents, and abilities. I do not consider this to be just a job, but an opportunity to share the truth of the gospel message. I specialize in haircuts, color, perms, or the look for that special occasion. My phone number is 806-335-5031. By appointment only.
I want to remind you of this today, that you don't need to quit, because if you won't quit in your walk with God, there's nobody that can stop you or shut you down.
Go!